With this Spotlight on the Arts for KASU, I'm Marty Scarborough. The Arkansas State University Concert Choir and Chamber Singers will present their fall concert this Tuesday night, October 15th, at 7:30 p.m. in the Fowler Center's Riceland Hall on the ASU Jonesboro campus. I spoke recently with Dr. Dale Miller, Director of Choral Activities at Arkansas State University, regarding the works to be performed at this concert. Now, I noticed this concert, in looking at the list of works to be performed, like many concerts, choir concerts here at ASU, has a very European feel to it, as most of the works will be coming from that particular continent.
Right,
so let's just start by just kind of walking through the countries. I noticed that first we're going to Italy for some madrigals.
Yes, we are. The chamber singers are the royal court for the madrigal feast. And so much of our fall semester music is music that would be appropriate at a 16th century dinner. And so, yes, the madrigal began in Italy. So, of course, we have to do some Italian madrigals.
Well, what sets apart a madrigal as something that's unique and special to be called by that name?
Well, as a lot of musical forms, it progressed and mutated through the years. But in the time of the High Renaissance, the late 1500s, we had these 4- and 5-part vocal settings that weren't necessarily for concert use. They were for home entertainment. I mean, you couldn't turn to HBO. You didn't have Netflix, but, you know, you might have two or three friends that could sing and somebody else that could play a recorder and somebody else a sack butt. That's my favorite medieval and Renaissance instrument. And they made music together. The madrigal, anybody that's sung in a choir may have had a chance to sing a madrigal. It did start in Italy. The English decided they liked it in the last half of the 16th century, and they boldly plagiarized. And sometimes they would just take the entire song and just put English text to it and call it theirs. Similar musical forms were in Spain and in Germany, and we'll be singing one of the similar ones in this concert. It's called a Villancico. Villancico. I'm working on my Castilian pronunciation. I grew up speaking Tex-Mex in Spanish class. So.
Well, you got the Italian madrigals, but then you're also going to be performing and presenting some music that originated in Spain, and obviously there's significance to that with the choir's upcoming trip there. Talk to us a little bit about some of these Spanish works that are on the program.
Well, we are doing in the chamber singers, the small group that is auditioned from the larger choir, the concert choir, we're doing a piece that's in the Italian madrigal style by Francisco Guerrero, who was a late 16th century composer in Spain. And then we're doing another by Juan del Encina, that Villancico that I was talking about, that we're not actually going to put the literal translation in the program because you can't find one of those on the internet because it's a little racy. But that, you know, it's cuckoo, 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 and it kind of talks about married people and their relationships with people they're not married to. So we'll just leave it go at that. Yeah.
Beautiful piece of music nonetheless.
Fun music.
Fun music.
Fun music. That's okay. Right. Yeah.
Also side trip to France for a French melody.
Well, yes, we typically preview one Christmas piece on the fall concert, just to kind of get people thinking about buying their tickets to the madrigal feast because mm-hmm. they actually go on sale the day of the fall concert. Funny how that works out. it is a setting of Ding Dong Merrily on High, and that's an originally a French tune.
Yeah. Now, I notice also on the program for this concert, you have one of your own arrangements. Tell us a little bit about how this particular arrangement came about.
Well, I really like classical music, and when I went back to I gave up teaching for a year and went back to school to finish my doctorate. One of the composers that I read about that didn't have a lot of published works in a particular in his sacred music was Michael Haydn, and he's the younger brother of the more famous Franz Joseph Haydn, and he worked in the same court as Wolfgang Mozart and his father Leopold in Salzburg, Austria, and they got a new boss. And the new boss said, there will be no more playing these instrumental sonatas during the Mass. You're going to set the text of the Mass that's supposed to be sung on this particular day. And these are called graduals, okay? And Michael Haydn was very devoted. He worked for that church and the St. Peter Abbey there in Salzburg. And this is the latter part of the 18th century. And so he set over 100 of these graduals to be performed on the specific day that their scripture came up. And they're four parts. You can hear the words, you know, not much polyphonies, pretty much just straight ahead four-part singing with organ, string trio, and sometimes trumpet, sometimes horns, and sometimes oboes. And I learned that it was his philosophy not to publish and make money off any of his sacred music. Now, he wrote symphonies like his brother did, and he wrote other things that were of a secular nature, and he allowed those to be published, and he made money on those. But these were his gift to God. And so there was this treasury of these pieces that had never been published. And so I found the library where the autographed copies were being kept in the Bavarian State Library in Munich, traveled there, purchased copies of the autograph scores and permission to make editions. And so I set them in modern editions, and this was a part of my dissertation study. And my dissertation itself was a study of this composer, the time he lived in Austria, and what affected his composing these pieces, and then I put them in modern notation. We don't read tenor clef and alto clef and soprano clef very often anymore in a 21st century choir, and so I put them in modern notation and adapted the string and wind parts into piano reduction, and we Brian Hinkelman will play that reduction on the organ in our concert.
So kind of a rare opportunity to hear some of this music that for many centuries hasn't been heard that much,
yeah,
if ever.
His, Michael Haydn's wife, after his death, gave these pieces to one of his more famous students. And the student took them with him. His name is Diabelli. He took those with him when he moved from Salzburg to Munich. And so when he died, they went to the library there in Munich.
Well, of course, it wouldn't be an ASU choir concert without something by Moses Hogan, correct?
that is, indeed is true. In fact, we have two somethings by Moses Hogan this time. we're doing a piece called Certainly Lord, and it's a call and response kind of piece, a spiritual that the soloist delivers a line and the choir answers him. And then in this concert, we also have one of Moses Hogan's hymn settings of an old song that I learned in the Baptist church as a kid growing up, I Surrender All. And it's a very, it's a much more complicated harmonic arrangement than I learned at Faith Baptist Church in Iowa Park, Texas. I can tell you that. But we really enjoy it, and it's we presented it on the Out of the Dark concert last month, and you know, it's one of my students was telling me that's the one of the things that an addict has to do is to surrender everything to whatever is higher power, and so this is it's become meaningful to the group for that reason, as well as you know, it's just beautiful music.
Dr. Dale Miller is director of choral activities at Arkansas State University. The ASU Concert Choir and Chamber Singers will perform Tuesday, October 15th at 7:30 p.m. in Riceland Hall of the Fowler Center on the ASU Jonesboro campus. There's no admission fee, but audience members will have the opportunity before and after the concert to make tax-deductible donations to help defray expenses of the choir's upcoming trip to Spain. With this Spotlight on the Arts for KASU, I'm Marty Scarborough.